Amen. Thank you, Carol. Probably one of your favorite verses, isn't it, in Isaiah? Wait upon the Lord, you mount up with the wings of an eagle and soar. And the aspects of that, of course, is that beautiful experience, is that God is the one who lifts you up and grants you that ability to soar. We are looking at the fact that we do indeed live in a domain that is under the prince of the world. We live in this world, we're not to be of the world. We know that God has taken us, according to Colossians 3, 1 and 13, and has transferred us out of the kingdom of darkness, out from the domain of the evil one, and placed us into the kingdom of his dear son, into a kingdom of light. We are no longer children of darkness. We are children of the light, and we are to be walking in the light, indeed, as he is the light. And you and I are continuously in this battle because we live in this world, and as long as we live in this world under the power of the evil one, we are going to deal, if you will, with conflict, struggle, battles, a battle of faith. Faith that indeed is the victory that overcomes the world, but it still is a war, a battle of faith. And again, as I would make sure that you understand, the one thing Satan is going to try to do to the best of his ability when he attacks you is to destroy the shield of faith that protects you against the fiery arrows of the evil one. He wants your faith destroyed. Because he knows that is the only way you will resist him, stand up against him, and ultimately win the battle as you and I live together in the world today. Paul declared, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. So let's not forget, however, in the aspects of all of this, as we're looking at the battle, again, let's remind ourselves that the battle has really, truly been won. I believe Jesus Christ has conquered everything that is to be conquered, and that we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us, according to Romans 8. So as the proverb writer said, Solomon chapter 21, verse 31, he says, victory belongs to the Lord. Victory comes as a result of our relationship with the victor. You know, General MacArthur said, there is no substitute for victory. Absolutely none. And he said that he would return. My Lord and God in heaven says to me, to you and I today, there is no substitute for the Christian but victory. And there is a day when I'm coming back. Fight the good fight. Lay hold onto eternal life. Let that be your destiny, your crown. Don't allow Satan to destroy your hope. There abides now faith and hope and love. Don't let him attack your faith. It will destroy your hope, and it will destroy your capacity to love like God wants you to love. John 16, 31, remember Jesus said, take courage. I have overcome the world. If you read the book of Revelation and every one of the seven churches, it says, he who overcomes, he who overcomes, he who overcomes, he who overcomes, his name will be written, will not taste the second death. The aspect will be made a ruler over many nations. The blessing is to those who are overcomers. So take courage, Jesus said. I've overcome, and if I could overcome, I can give you the power to be overcomers. Hebrews 2:18 tells us that Jesus was tempted in every way we are, and that he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. I believe God has covered every base in order for you and I, by faith, to win the victory. I believe he's covered it all. That there's nothing that he has held back, will not hold back, as far as your relationship with him, if you indeed remember that the spiritual blessings that we receive are in Christ, that we have received the spirit of power in the inner man, that God did not give you a spirit of timidity. He gave you a spirit of love, sober, and power. Power to conquer. Our conquering is through him. Through him who loved us. Through him who loved us. Life is a ceaseless struggle, is it not? Isn't it? Isn't it? Probably the end aspect of that struggle is when you look at yourself in the mirror and you look at yourself and realize how many times you're your worst enemy. Isn't that right? The aspects of that. So we have these forces that seemingly are unseen, but they are real as night and day. They are there because there is no question in my mind, there is an evil one. There is a devil, there is a Satan, and he is averse to you and me. He's an adversary. He wants to destroy you. The Bible calls him a liar, a murderer. And his aspect is that he is in direct opposition to me, more so than those who are walking in darkness, because he already has them. His battle is against the kingdom of God. His battle is against the children of light. His battle is against you and me, because we represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're the only ones that have a message of salvation that can keep people from going where he's going. The church is the body of Christ, the holy ones of God, the sanctified, the set apart. We have a purpose, we have a goal, and that's to bring people into Christ so they can have the hope we got and spend eternity with God someday, because that's the ultimate essence of what you and I are dealing with today. And yet I know, and the Bible has made it clear over and over and over again, as long as I live in this world, I am going to be totally dependent on God. And if God doesn't build my life, then I can labor all I want. I'm going to labor in vain. If God doesn't build this congregation, then we're all going to labor in vain. If God does not build the house, the laborer labors in vain. Therefore, may I encourage you and me together, let's let God build the kingdom of God in your life and my life together. Together. Micah 2:10. Micah's speaking about the opposition that one will experience in this life. This is what Micah said a long time ago. And Micah said, arise and go, for this is no place of rest. As long as you live in this world, as you live in this world, physically speaking, there will not be found any rest. You will be continuously struggling and fighting against the evil that is in the world today. Don't leave me there. Because of the uncleanness that brings on destruction, a painful destruction. Brother, America today is experiencing that painful destruction because of the sin that is so prominent in our lives and in this country today. Sin is a disgrace to any nation, and ultimately it will destroy it. It did Babylon, it did Rome, and God hasn't put a halo over America, and by any means. And as long as this country continues to progressively walk away from God, denying God, refusing to give him the glory that is due his name, you can anticipate more and more and more destruction from the political area down to the homes and the family. It is desecrating our country today, sin is. It really is. How many young people commit suicide today? How many people are dying today because of overdose of drugs? How many divorces are going to take place next week? How many domestic and violence is going to take place and deaths are going to occur because somebody killed somebody? It's a plague, isn't it? There's no rest. How do you look at and whatever, and the aspects of that, it's a painful destruction. But have you read Hebrews 4 lately? Hebrews 4 says there is a rest for God's people. You know what he says it is? It's faith. Faith is God's rest for people. It's not the Sabbath day. It's not a physical rest. It's a spiritual rest. When you put your faith totally, that is that God is in control, no matter how evil the world become, God is still in control. And that God is ultimately going to indeed manifest his power and glory whether it be at the judgment day or however, God is in control. I can find peace and rest in that, can you? God is not going to allow me to be tried above what I can stand. He's going to give me a way to escape. Can you take rest in that? Can you put your faith in that? Can you be confident of that? Because faith is a confidence. It's a conviction that there is a God in heaven who made promises to his children and he will keep them. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Therefore, you can say that God is our present helper in time of need. Can you have that kind of faith and take rest in that? Because if you don't have that faith, you're not going to find the rest that God wants you to. Faith is God's gift of rest to his people, that you put your faith in him, not in circumstances, not in what you can do or not do, or your capacity or your ability. Your faith is in the great provider, the great protector, the great one who has indeed promised and has overcome time and time and time again. God is on his throne, people. It doesn't matter how evil the world gets. God still is on his throne. And Jesus Christ is Lord of lords, King of kings, and you put your faith in him. You know the story of Lot. You know the sin that was desecrating Sodom and Gomorrah. You know that when the angels too came in, that the city wanted them and wanted to take them, etc., etc. And you know the message of those two angels were in verse 12 of chapter 19 of Genesis, bring them out of the place. Verse 14, get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. Verse 15, the angels urged Lot, get your family out of the city now. And if you're still living in the world, brother, I'm telling you, God's message to you is get out of it. Separate yourself from the world. Don't get your eyes set on anything that this world can provide for you, because it's all going to go someday. If you can see it, it's going. It's only the invisible that faith grabs a hold of. That there is a kingdom that cannot be shaken and that it will remain when God's voice speaks and the earth no longer remains. Get out of whatever you have got a hold of as far as this world is concerned. Get out of it. Now, I know what happened. You know what happened. The angel said, don't even look back. Right? Right? So Lot's wife looked back. What happened to her? Yeah, she became a pillar of salt. Little boy in Bible study. They're talking about Lot and his wife, how she looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. And the little boy said, hey, my mommy looked back the other day and turned into a telephone pole. Oh, come on, now grab a hold of that. You know what Jesus said in Luke 9:62? If any man puts his hand to the plow and he looks back, he is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Why did you become a Christian? Did you not understand that you're going to be taken by God and separated from the world? The world is lust, an aspect of whatever you can see, touch, and handle, that the world is temporary. And the Bible warns us, he who loves the world and the things of the world, the love of God is not in him. What is it that you left, that you're supposed to have left behind, that's so attractive that you're going to turn away from your vision, your focus on Jesus, and spend an eternity with him, that you're going to turn and look at it? Isn't that exactly what happened to Peter when he was walking on the water? Long as he had his eyes on the Lord, he was fine, wasn't he? But the waves started coming, and what did he do? He turned to the waves, and what he began to sink. We all have waves, don't we? We all got things coming against us, don't we? But what does the Bible say? Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. He is the author and the perfecter of faith. Isn't that what he said? Why? Because he's the only one who ultimately can promise you and give you the crown. And it's called a crown of life. So in 1 Timothy 6:12, as life is this continual battle, and as you and I see it day by day, kind of reminds me again of what Job says in 14th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Job says, this is his words, man who is born of woman is short-lived and full of turmoil. Like a flower, he comes forth and withers. He also flees like a shadow and does not remain. Sounds kind of vain, doesn't it? Empty? Virtual? I mean, come on. James says life is like a vapor, right? Comes here and gone tomorrow, right? And if a man's going to go into the city or going to do this or going to do that, what should he say? If the Lord wills, I'm going to do this or that or whatever. That means God's in control of my tomorrows and my control of my today, amen? I am to be living in the will of God, and I am to be focused upon that in every aspect, because the problem is that you and I, again, our battle isn't against flesh and blood. Good grief, people. When are we going to get at the picture? When are you going to stop fighting one another? When are you going to stop fighting? When are nations going to stop fighting nations and whatever? Because there's no way in the world if we don't get the picture of what really is going on in the spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm. Because our battle is not against flesh and blood. Ephesians 6 and 12. It's in the Bible. It's right there. Why do churches fight? Why is there inner conflict? Why is there divorce? Why are marriages destroyed? Why is there so much conflict? Because we see the other person as the problem. I'm serious. The problem isn't flesh and blood. The problem isn't who you live with. And you may go and live with somebody else, but I guarantee you, you're going to take the same problems with you. I'm 80 years old. I've seen a lot of life. And I've seen Satan destroy people. I've seen it. I know a young couple that was a very powerful part of this body for quite a length of time. Got divorced. Now look at what's happening to the children, families, destroyed, all around us. Why? Because our battle isn't against flesh and blood. Our battle's against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the force of the wickedness that is in heavenly places. It is a spiritual war. It's a spiritual war. And if Satan wins, it's because you let him. And you don't put Christ as the center of every aspect of your life because you cannot win the battle on and by yourself. You can't withstand Satan on your own. You can't do it. You don't have the power to do it. I'm going to share some verses in closing, and I just want you to focus on them because it's very important to me. We need to be honest with ourselves, and we need to be completely honest. We need to accept the truth. That there's nothing more necessary within my life than Bill Horton repent and change who he is. And let God continue to do what he's worth. God is at work in me to accomplish his will and his purpose. Can you honestly say that? That God is at work in your personal life to accomplish his will and his purpose. Not yours, his. Can you honestly say that? Because that's what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to focus on yourself. You know, you got all the answers. Sure you do. You got all the abilities in the world to take care of all your problems. Yeah, you do. The aspect, of course, is that's a lie. You got to be honest. I have found at this point in time in my life, as I look back, my life has been a continual battle. It's been never ending. And it won't ever be over as long as I'm alive and living in this world. The path that you and I walk as Christians to the aspect of reaching into the glory of eternal God is going to be a battle of conflict and struggle, and fighting, and remaining faithful. But you see, my Lord learned obedience through suffering. The Hebrew writer, remember back to last week, chapter 12, said that through the suffering of Jesus, look at what he endured. Look at what he went through. What he did. Therefore, he said, don't lose heart. Don't become discouraged. Look at what your Lord went through, for heaven's sakes. What he endured, what he took so that you could have the victory that overcomes the world. All right? Think about it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 declares, fight the good fight of faith. Fight. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Don't quit. Don't go back into a world where nothing but damnation and the promise of the wrath of God rests. Stay faithful. Faithful unto death. Don't give up. Don't fight. Fight, fight, fight. And then take hold. Make sure what you have. Set your thing and your mind on things above. Take hold of eternal life. That's what it's all about. It's the battle of eternity. Where are you going to spend eternity? Where are you going to spend eternity? Take hold of it, which you were called, and make the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And on that foundation, Jesus said, because I am the Son of God, the gates of death and hell will never prevail against it. Right? We're winners, aren't we? We're conquerors. But we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. And may we together with God's people today, right here in this assembly this morning, take and have what was indeed the testimony of the Apostle Paul to the church at Thessalonica. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4, Paul says and writes to the church, he says, therefore, we ourselves speak proudly among you, about you, among the churches of God, for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecution and affliction which you endure. I'm proud of some of you people for what you've endured over the last few years of our lives together. We've gone through a lot. We've had to endure a lot of things. We've had Satan try his best. He's worked hard on us, hasn't he? We've had a lot of internal aspects where we've seen Satan attack people's lives and destroy their marriages and take them back out into the world. And I've shed a lot of hours in prayer, and I've shed a lot of hours in tears. You know, you pour your life into people, share the word of God, pour this word, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word, and you see Satan time and time again taking that shield and literally destroying it, and his arrows, flaming arrows, permeate into their lives and literally destroy them. Remain faithful unto death. Then you'll receive the crown of life. We're in a battle. I like the songwriter who said, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward. Dark, dark passion subdue. Look ever to Jesus. He'll carry you through. You know the illustration of the two, Jesus and one, walking together. Storm comes, one track gets all over. As the storm subsides, the person says, why in the world? When we peace and calm, we were walking together, and then the storm came and you left me. And you know the story. You know exactly what it says. Jesus said, little child, I carried you. That's why there's only one footprint in the sand. I like it. How many times did Jesus carry you? Through your storms, through your heartaches, what you have endured. Because to him that overcometh, God giveth a crown. Through faith we will conquer, though often cast down. He who is our Savior, our strength will renew. Look ever to Jesus. He'll carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He's willing to help you. He will carry you through. Amen? He's not going to let you down. Don't you let him down. You know? Yeah, it's a victory, and the victory is a victory of faith. And that faith is the power that gives us what we need in every area of our individual lives. We live in a world today that all kinds of sin and concept is coming from all avenues aspects of it. Some of it is just plain suggestive elements that could tempt you and lead you astray. And every time you're tempted and every time these suggestions and those things come that appeal to you, may I remind you of what was written. When you are tempted, did you think to pray? Did you think to pray? By his loving love and mercy, did you claim the Holy Spirit as your guide and as your stay? Resist the devil. He will flee. Matthew 6:13 said, we pray, lead us not into temptation and deliver us from. Did you think to pray for God to deliver you from whatever was tempting you? Did you realize what was happening, and did you honestly submit to God and humble yourself under his mighty hand so he could exalt you and lift you up above whatever the temptation might be? Don't tell me we don't have an answer to temptation, because God will provide it if we pray. Faith frees us, if you will, from the power of heredity. Yeah, I got DNA. I got all those elements in my family life. I know that. I know that there's a radical difference between my brother, sister, and I as Hortons than those who are of the Phelps, of that dad and whatever. We're as different as night and day. We really are. In aspects of that. And I'm not going to spend time to explain that. But there's one thing I have come to understand about heredity. As long as I focus on my past, it will still control me. However, God's word told me again, over and over and over again, when I was baptized into Christ, the old man was done away with, the past was done away with, and I was supposed to start living day one right here. I became a child of God, and I became a brother of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, the power of God, came into my life. And therefore, I became a new creature in Christ. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It also says that day by day in the inner man, I am being renewed. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Satan can take my path, and it controlled me for many years. I didn't know it. I really thought I had forgiven my dad. I thought I had put it in the past, and it had no impact on my life. Truth of the matter, I really hadn't. I was constantly telling me I was never going to become like him, but I did. Because whoever you focus on, you say you're never going to become like, that's who your focus is on, and you're going to become like. What you need to do is get your focus on who you want to become like. Amen? And then that will just go, you know? And you'll never know the revelation and the power that came into my life. Some people say, you're not the same person. I'll tell you why. Because certain years ago, I came to a conclusion, and I came convicted of the fact that I had never forgiven my dad. And when I released it, and I turned it to God, and I simply, honestly, sincerely forgave him in my inner heart, man, I was set free. I was set free. Isn't it amazing how many times Jesus said, if you don't forgive others of their trespasses against you, neither will you be forgiven. And I was living under that. I really was. Thank God somebody helped me to see it and to acknowledge it, that I could become a new person and get rid of that burden and that element that was inside of me. I love Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. Ephesians 4, 22, it says, in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. Did you get the tense? You lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted. If you don't lay it aside, it will corrupt you in accordance with the lust of deceit. And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness and of the truth. Now, why do I love it? Because that hit me right between the eyes. What hit me in time? Bill Horton, it's your responsibility to put on the new man. How do I do that? by taking what this book says, put off what it says, undress myself from the sins and the evil and the corruption of this world, and put on what it says. Put on Christ. Become like him. And let God create me. Make me holy. Make me complete. I had to put on and put off. I challenge you to look into your Bible how many times it says, you put off. You put on. And you take the responsibility for doing so. And then watch how God will bless you if you do. Yeah? Is it worth it? Oh, I remember, without faith, it's impossible to what? Please God, that they who cometh to him must first believe that he is. And remember the sermon I preached? That he is a rewarder of those who believe. Is it worth it? You bet it's worth it. If you want to really see the unbelievable blessings of God in Christ, then you need to take and put off the old, put on the new, and let God do what he says he will do. Faith must face the powers and the oppositions of the environment that you and I live in. We do, and faith can do that. Faith can overcome the world. Amen? It can do that. You don't live in the world. What you are living in is the kingdom of God. This is your world right here. Now, as we live in this world of God's people, we have a responsibility to those who are not in the domain of the kingdom of God, do we not? And we need to be sharing light with them. You realize that the gospel can be blinded by the devil so that those who don't believe can't see the beauty of the cross and see the beauty of the message, and that we have to battle through that? The aspect of that is just unbelievable. I shared with the Sunday school class this morning, you and I are aroma from God walking amongst people. And the aroma that we shed off as people that are unbelievers is aroma of life, aroma of life unto life. And to those who don't believe it, it's aroma of death. That's who we are, people. Somebody said, you're the only Bible that other people's going to read. And that Bible has to be of such a light. You know, Paul said to the Corinthians, do I have to write again to you? Don't you understand that God's letter written today is not on tables of stone, but it's written on human hearts, and it's to be known and read of all men? You're a letter from God. My life is a letter from God. And when people read your letter that God has written, or whoever's writing it, do they see God on every page? Do they see Jesus written in your life? What do they read? What do they read? The Holy Spirit is writing into your heart the New Testament, the will of God. This is the revelation of the New Testament, but I and you together are the New Testament of God that is to be read. Living New Testament. Living oracle from God. Written and known of men. You and I are not to allow this world and the environment that we live in to overcome us. We're to be the overcomers. And people need to see that. Can you see that? What can separate you from the love of God? Huh? Can death, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, things in the heavens, things on the earth, things in the sea, what can separate you? What is there in your environment, in your world that you live in, that can separate you from the love of God that you found in Christ Jesus? What? Nothing. Only you. Only you can separate yourself from the love of God. Faith manifests the power and the opposition of the faith. And let me remind you very quickly, read Romans 6. Every time you get this element of the battle against your flesh, just read Romans 8:6, where it tells you that if you sow or live after the flesh, you will die. Amen? But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. How do you put to death? How do you overcome the flesh? Answer that. By the power of the Holy Spirit at work in you. Did you know the Bible says that the works of the flesh are manifested? Are you listening? It says the works. That means you're actively involved in making the flesh manifested. The works of the flesh are adultery, fornication, and sedition, and division, and murder, and whatever. The works of the flesh. That's you and me allowing the works of the flesh to be clearly seen. But the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, self-control, there's no law. Get the difference? Works of the flesh, fruit of the Holy Spirit. Big difference, isn't there? Yeah, there is. So faith is that power that sets us free from all that Jesus conquered. Jesus says, in and through me, we can overwhelmingly conquer. Did Jesus conquer the devil? Yes or no? Did he conquer the flesh? Yes or no? Did he conquer the grave? Yes or no? Yes. And through him, we are overwhelmingly more than conquerors. There is nothing in this world that you cannot overcome through him. Through him. And remember that. Remember that. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Amen? Above all, take up the shield of faith, which will extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Put it up. Walk and live and battle and fight the battle of faith, because you're going to have to fight the battle. That's all there is to it. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen? Now what it says, listen to it. Fix your eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of faith. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ. And finally, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Powerful verses, aren't they? Huh? Yeah, they are. And then the last, 1 Corinthians 15:57. What does it declare? Thanks be unto God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What? Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for helping me, strengthening me, creating me, making me a conqueror. Because apart from that, I'm a loser. Satan will overcome. My environment will overcome me. My past and my heredity, it's as real as day, isn't it? Well, can indeed overcome me. The flesh can overcome me, can it? There's nothing more than an aspect of that. But in him and through him, we can overcome. And blessed are they who are overcomers. Listen to these words. Yes, we live in the world, a world under the power of the evil one, a world of darkness. He is our adversary. Yes, victory comes by putting our faith in God and in the person of Jesus Christ. They're the ones who win the battle for us. Amen? They're the ones who win the battle. So can you sing this song? Can you really say, the Lord, our rock, in him I hide, a shelter in the time of storm, secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. O rock divine, O wretched dear, be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Yes, Jesus is a rock in the weary land. A weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is the rock in the weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God that he is the rock upon which you and I can build our lives. Amen? And if you build on him, I guarantee you, he'll shelter you, strengthen you, keep you, sustain you, no matter what seems to be coming against you. Jesus has overcome it. Oh, God, help us, huh? God, help us. I'm telling you, people are going back into the world. Things are happening all around us. This world is getting unbelievably wicked. I don't know how ever to put it, people. And you live in it. I live in it. You live in an environment that is adverse to anything that is light. Jesus said, they hated me, they'll hate you. They love darkness, they hate the light. You know what he said? But fear not, little ones. I've overcome. Put your faith in him, okay? If you're not a Christian, or if you are a Christian, if you put your hand to the plow and you've looked back, what is there that's more attractive than going to heaven? What a profit a man if he gains his whole world and loses his soul? What is there in that world out there that you and I live in that's more important than knowing that you have the hope of eternal life? Because you're going to die, and you're making a choice where you're going to spend eternity. So am I, right? Right? So what's out there that's worth selling your soul for? You know? Think about it. Is it worth a bowl of soup? Because that's about all the world's got to offer. Make sure that if there's a straw in it, it's not plastic. Isn't that ridiculous? How far this world has departed from God and common sense, reason, thinking that man has the ability to control his environment, when in reality, they're destroying it. Aren't they? Yeah, they are. But come out of it. Be separate from the world. Don't look back. There's nothing there. Nothing but destruction. Keep your focus. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Fix them on him, because that's where you want to end up with him anyway. Amen? Yeah? He's the author. He's the finisher, perfecter of your faith. Take that faith that he gives us. Remember, the disciples increase our faith. Well, ask him. If your faith needs to be increased, get on your knees. Humble yourself before God and say, Lord, increase my faith. Faith is a work of God. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. And that word is filled with promises for God's people. I put my trust in them. Amen. That what God has promised, he's able to do it and will do it if I trust him. So we stand and sing the second verse of Faith is a Victory this morning, okay?